the Public News Service Now newscast, June the 28th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. The U.S. Supreme Court Thursday announced it will allow for abortions in emergency situations in Idaho. For now, Arek Tegunov has more.
The justices said they were dismissing an appeal by the state of Idaho, reestablishing a lower court decision allowing hospitals to perform abortions in emergency cases, despite the state's restrictive abortion laws. Molly Meegan is chief legal officer with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. She says the organization is glad to see temporary relief in this case, but added that it is far from a complete solution.
The way these laws are set up in Idaho and elsewhere are that there are limits on what care can be provided. Those limits are not clearly defined, and they're not committed to the discretion, the judgment, the expertise, and the training of the physician that's facing a particular patient.
The protection for emergency abortions stems from a federal law known as the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. The law requires Medicare-funded hospitals to perform abortions in emergency situations. The three dissenting justices in Thursday's case called the act's ability to preempt Idaho's restrictive abortion laws plainly unsound.
And in last night's debate, President Joe Biden said putting the issue of abortion up to state discretion has been a terrible thing. That from CNN. Biden said, quote, the vast majority of constitutional scholars supported Roe versus Wade when it was decided. He said that in response to Donald Trump, who defended the overturning of the landmark case. Biden added, this idea they were all against it is just ridiculous. Former President Trump said he will not block abortion medication if he is elected. He also said he agreed with the recent Supreme Court ruling on the abortion pill. Next to Florida, where they're getting attention for efforts to create a comprehensive crisis response system for mental health needs.
A new report by the mental health advocacy group Inseparable calls for policies to expand 988 call center capacity, increase the availability of mobile response units, create more crisis stabilization centers, and establish stable funding mechanisms to sustain these services. Melanie Brown-Wufter with the Florida Behavioral Health Association says the Sunshine State is doing all that and more to provide care for anyone in crisis, including adding more clinics.
And now the Certified Community Behavioral Health clinics, we are really building an entire system that allows an individual in crisis to seek care and be linked to the right level of care at the right time and to have those resources available that they need.
She says with Florida operating mobile response teams for over 30 years, it is well ahead of other states. She notes the increased state funding to expand services and to establish central receiving facilities, which are not yet available in every state. I'm Tramell Gomes.
This is Public News Service. The Delaware General Assembly has approved legislation to allow terminally ill adults access to prescription drugs so that if they are suffering, they can choose to die peacefully in their sleep.
Paul, the End of Life Options Act, the bill was approved this week by the state Senate following its passage in April by the House. But legislatures have wrestled with this issue for more than a decade. Wilmington resident Judy Gavados has battled cancer for much of that time. She's currently in remission, but when the time comes, she says she wants to die with dignity.
At 80, still have lymphoma, so it's not gone, and it's in my bone marrow, and it'll come back. And I'm old and I'll die, but I really don't want to do any kind of chemo again. It's just too much. I want quality of life.
Delaware Governor John Carney, a Democrat, has not said whether he plans to sign the bill, and his office did not respond to a request for comment. Several Republican lawmakers have expressed moral concerns about the bill, questioning the need for it with recent advances in hospice and palliative care. Mark Richardson reports.
And Alabama has the eighth highest youth incarceration rate in the nation. Juvenile justice advocates say more diversion programs could be key.
A report from the Sentencing Project outlines how programs that help kids avoid jail can reduce their chances of committing crimes. Richard Mendel, a senior researcher with the group, says when a young person is arrested, it has a lifelong negative impact. This often leads to higher dropout rates, lower likelihood of attending college, and reduced income by age 30.
More and more, the research is making clear that expanding and improving diversion and reducing or hopefully eliminating disparities in diversion really has to be a top priority for reform if we ever want to create a youth justice system that's fair and effective, that keeps communities safe, and that guides young people to success.
The report shows national disparities in who gets to be a part of these critical diversion programs. Shantia Hudson reporting.
Finally, our Mike Moen reports, with the 4th of July approaching, families likely to spend some time at municipal parks to celebrate. Parks Department staff in Minneapolis hope their labor dispute sheds light on the increasing demands in this line of work.
This week, Minneapolis Parks and Recreation Board workers held an informational picket as they seek better pay and safer working conditions. They've also authorized a potential strike in the coming days. Service area crew leader Mitchell Clendenin says they feel their requests are being ignored, while at the same time, his colleagues are asked to do more with not enough support.
In our heydays, we had upwards of 160 park keepers, and today we only have 114. But the amount of land and parks that keep getting built keeps going up.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and you can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.